This story in Mark chapter 5, I want to focus a little bit here this morning on the Word of God and just give you a little idea of what God is at work doing during these days of, I would say, delay. Everybody thought that Russia was going to move in, and in 3 days, Mr. Putin said, he would take control of the capital, Kiev, and he would take control of the country of Ukraine. Now, I want to tell you, just prior to all of that happening, back on February the 24th last year, we were there. In fact, we were with some of the church leaders, and we were talking about different things and plans that we were going to do and all the different opportunities that were out there. And yes, there was this perhaps a slight understanding that maybe there was going to be some kind of a war. Well, we knew there were 150,000 Russian soldiers that were on the border of eastern Ukraine. But we thought, really? Are they really going to go in there and do what some people are saying they're going to do? And we know today the answer is yes, they did. And there were all kinds of different plans that we just simply had to take and put on hold and say, God, what do you want us to do during this perhaps delay in our lives? Let me read in Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. And then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. And he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. Now, right here at this point, let me just stop, because there's another story that kind of just has jumped right in on the page right here at this point in your Bible, okay? So beginning in the middle of verse 24, some of your Bibles would have it broken up in a paragraph here, and another story comes into place, and it goes all the way down from verse 25 down to verse 34, and you have another story that's kind of interjected right in the middle of what was taking place with Jairus and his daughter. And it's the story, of course, of the woman who had, as the Bible says, a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, rather she grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. You know the story. Right smack in the middle of Jairus' daughter being healed by the Lord Jesus, the Bible kind of interjects this story of real time of what happened in Jairus' case with his daughter. It's interesting because God sometimes puts those kind of delays in our lives. Right when we don't expect it, right when we don't plan on it, right when we don't want to see those kind of things happen, and sometimes things often take longer than we desire. You know, it could be an illness, it could be finishing school, it could be landing a job, it could be finding a mate, it could be weathering some kind of a crisis. Judy and I, when we went to Bible school years ago, and we went to Bible school first as single students, okay? And we went to a school where they would say, out west, where they would say they painted the sidewalks pink and blue. And they were very, very segregated. And I'm going to tell you, that's where we went to Bible school, okay? Prairie Bible College today, if you want to know, in Three Hills, Alberta. The paint has mostly gone off the sidewalks by now. But let me tell you, we went there for the first 2 years. And after 2 years of Bible school, God said to us, you know, maybe I have another plan for your life. Now, we're right in the middle of 4 years of training for Bible school. And God, what are you doing? And we ended up taking a year off. In fact, that year, the church where I was, where I had come from in Montreal, they had no pastor, and they asked if I would pastor the church with them for a year while they looked for another pastor. Well, it so happened that I didn't get enough money to go back to Bible school, and so God provided in that way, and I made all of $8,500 for that year, and we did ministry with the church for a year, and we delayed. Well, during that year, we got married. We thought, You know, going to Bible school single versus married. Married's a whole lot better way to go since we know each other anyways, so let's just get married. So we got married during that year off, and then we went back to Bible school as married students. I want to tell you, I enjoyed the last 2 years a whole lot more than the first 2 years. We had a great time. But God took us through a five-year program rather than a four-year program. Now, God does that. God has different ways of doing different things. And oftentimes, we'll say to God, hurry up. Like right now, I would like to see the war in Ukraine end it. Would you? I mean, I would just, if I had the power, I would end it today. Like yesterday. Because we're the ones as missions and missionaries who go back and forth and see these brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, the churches are full beyond capacity right now. If you want to report, the long and short of it is the churches are full to overflowing. And God is doing something right now with thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ like we have never seen in the history of working in these countries. God is at work doing something that only God could do. And so as we think of that this morning and think about what God has in mind, God sometimes does things in a different way. For Jairus here was Jairus. He was the ruler, the chief and the Greek word here is for synagogue. And in modern terms, we would call him the local pastor in Capernaum. And here he is, and Jesus was staying nearby at Peter's home, as the scriptures tell us. And perhaps Jairus maybe even shared the pulpit in this particular location. I mean, you think about that. And we know that Jesus delivered his sermon on the bread of life at Capernaum in that synagogue as well. You can find that in John chapter 6. So these two men, Jairus and Jesus, they were acquainted with each other, and Jairus evidently was attracted to the Lord Jesus. And one day in his life, he had this crisis. His daughter was sick. In fact, the scripture tells us in verses 22 and 23 there that his little daughter, was 12 years old, and in the Hebrew context, she was actually a woman at that point. But yet Jairus's girl was his little girl, and he was in the grip of fear. Things were not going well in his life at this point. You know, fear is that emotion I don't think that we're going to miss in heaven. You know, as we think about what we deal with and the different ways in which God works and things happen in our lives sometimes, fear comes in many forms, and it's caused by many things in our lives. And sometimes it's rational, and other times it isn't. Some people, for various reasons, are especially vulnerable to fear. But I got to tell you, there's no fear like a parent's fear. You think about the children this past week in Laval, Quebec, when they brought their little children to the daycare center, and then by news or phone or whatever way they found out very quickly that a 51-year-old man had taken a city bus and drove it right into the side of the daycare center. I'm going to tell you, as you watched on TV like I did, and you saw the fear on those parents' faces, I mean, there's nothing like that I can explain on earth when that happens in a home. And you know, as I think of that, I think of Jairus in this story, and perhaps he was in that particular place at this point in his life. His little 12-year-old girl, she was really, really struggling. You know, as I read this passage of Scripture, it says here in verse 24, and he went with him. At this point, Jairus goes and he deals with this problem with his daughter, and he thinks Jesus is going to come and Jesus is going to take care of this. And then we have that interjection in Scripture here of a completely new situation, and Jesus deals with that one instead. Like, where are you, Lord? You know, there are people right today in the country of Ukraine, some of them are asking that question. Where are you, God? Like, where did you go? Like, we were the Bible hub of all of Europe. And where did you go? You know, I asked that question of a Bible school president just recently in Western Ukraine. And I said to him, Slav, I said, I just want to know, like, what are people really saying? When I share about Ukraine, what are people really sharing? And that's the question that some are really asking deep down. They're struggling, and they don't know what happens, and why is God doing this? Why has God allowed these different things to happen? You know, Slav is the president of a Bible school who 6 years ago only had 55 students in Lviv in western Ukraine. It's called UBTS, Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. When they started school this last September, there were over 2,000 students registered for school this year. And you know how Slav looks at this? Slav looks at this and he says, Bill, we were having lunch together in Toronto. His parents actually live in Etobicoke here in Ontario. And his sister works at one of the churches in Toronto. And so he comes back and sees his mom and dad. And so we get together for lunch sometimes. And he says, you know what happened? God allowed this to happen for whatever reason. And I don't understand all of that. That's way beyond me. He said, but God has allowed this to happen. And our student body, we had been praying for the last 4 or 5 years as it was growing exponentially. We were praying that God would do something so that our young people would catch mission and get an understanding of going out and sharing the gospel. Guess where the students, for the most part, all but maybe 300 or 400 of them right now, do you know where most of them are? They're all over Europe. They're all over the place. God allowed this, he says, in a sense, and our students today are missionaries all over Europe sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, only God could put something like that together. And as we look at this story here this morning, here's a man in fear for his little daughter's life, and it says here in verse 24, it says, and he went with him. Like, it's like, okay, Jesus is now going to take care of this. And this intervention, this other situation comes up. But how relieved Jairus was when Jesus consented to help. Time here, he says, was of the essence. He says in verse 23 there, my little girl is dying. It literally means my little girl is on her last breath. And Jairus is now faced with one more delay. And as we think of it, this was all caused first by the crowds that were coming, and you read in Luke chapter 8 that they were nearly crushed by the crowds, and in the middle of this delay comes this other situation. This miracle in verses 25 through 34 is a miracle within a miracle, and it's one of the tenderest stories really in all of the Bible. A desperate woman touching the hem of Christ's garment, and virtue is flowing from him into her body, and sudden healing and freedom from her suffering. It's an incredible story. It really is. It was great for the woman, but it wasn't so great for Jairus and his little girl. And this interruption made Jesus late. He was late. And it was a fatal delay. And you know, as we think of that this morning, we are challenged by God and his word, because we often face those situations in our lives, don't we? There are people all over Ukraine today who are facing that very situation. Like God, when are you going to do something? But God's word goes on, and it says this in verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, and this is what you memorized for the children's story this morning. Memorize this today. 5 words. Do not fear. Only believe. Do not fear. Only believe is what Jesus said. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brothers of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in there where the child was, and taking her by the hand, he said to her, which Talitha Kumai, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, and they immediately were overcome with amazement. Jairus was given 2 commands, 5 words, made all the difference in the world. What Jesus says to us in the middle of our fears, and it's the Lord's advice, it's repeated in various forms throughout the Bible, and some have suggested that perhaps it's said at least 365 times in the Word of God. And the words are, fear not. Jesus says to her, says to Jairus here today, do not fear, only believe. Only believe. You know, as we think today of what God is doing and how God is at work, and God wants to work through us, He challenges every single one of us today, no matter what our situation is, no matter where we come from, do not fear. Do not fear, only believe. Now I'm going to tell you, if you think that we're just spouting off here this morning, let me tell you, I have two kids, I have three grandkids. I have a son and a daughter. My son is married with three of our grandchildren, and he's a missionary with Mission Aviation Fellowship over in South Sudan. South Sudan, okay? He's been there now for two terms, going on his third term. He's chief pilot, and he has a lot of responsibilities. But I'm going to tell you, I've been there. I've seen it. You tell me or you tell them in South Sudan not to fear. Like I'm going to tell you, you walk out the door, or at least the guarded compound, you go out the sliding steel door, and I'm going to tell you, you walk out into a whole different world. Don't fear. Like last March when we made the trip overseas and we said, brothers, we're coming to see you. We want to meet with you, and we want to see what we can do with you as the war was breaking out. And we went to Poland, and we flew to Warsaw, and we got in a van. By the way, we were in a brand new Mercedes-Benz van from Enterprise out of the Warsaw airport. And the guy said to us, so where are you going? And we said, we're going to Ukraine. Not with that vehicle, he says, unless you want to buy it. Seriously. We ended up switching our vehicles with a Red Cross older Volkswagen van, and the boys from the Red Cross really enjoyed our Mercedes-Benz for a few weeks, or for a few days. And we went across the border in their old Volkswagen van. Now, we sat for 6.5 hours to get across the border. And I remember driving through the streets of Lviv in western Ukraine, and hearing the sirens going off and hearing the whiz of bombs coming in. And we went over and we saw the railroad station, and one third of it was completely gone, obliterated. Twisted metal all over the place. And I remember those words coming to my heart as I was looking at those situations and seeing those people, and people people sitting on the edge of the road and literally blood running down the side of the street. And I'm going to walk in there and tell them, do not fear. Only believe. Really? Really? And that's what God challenges us to do in this day and age in which we live. Do we believe that God can overcome and God can work in situations that seem absolutely impossible and absolutely beyond anything that we could ever imagine? Do you really believe that? Like, are you those kind of people, those Christians out there that really believe that? Are you? You can raise your hand if you want, you know, like, okay, you know. There's a few of you. The rest, I'm not sure. God says to us today, do not fear. Only believe. Only believe. And Jairus believed. And God came along, the Lord Jesus Christ came along, and through his miracle-working power, he took that little girl and he said to her, arise. Now, you could debate all the fact of whether she was in a coma or whatever. I'm not even going there. Jesus moved in on that scene and did something of a miracle. By the way, doing that other miracle just before. And he asked the people, do not fear, only believe. So I ask you the question today. If something like happened in Ukraine happened here, how many of us would still be here in church today? You know, I've asked myself the question, if I had to live permanently in Ukraine right now, would I? I mean, there have been thousands of them who have come to Canada. Thousands of them. We had one family live in our home last July until we got them an apartment. And they have no intentions of ever going back. Now, everybody has their reasons, and everybody has their understanding of different things, and they all make their own decisions. I'm not debating that or arguing about that this morning. They all have their different situations. But if God asks us, in the midst of all of the challenges that we face, do not fear. Do not fear, only believe. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I have control of this situation. Do you believe that today? Let me close with one video that I'm going to show you. It's 2.5 minutes long. I'll close with this morning. Let me give you the background of it. You'll see it. It's in Russian. So if you don't understand Russian, you're out of luck, okay? No, really, there's subtitles. There's English subtitles on the bottom, and if you can read them, that'll help you. But let me give you just a little bit of a context of this morning. This fellow's name is Vitaly. Vitaly is a Ukrainian. I've known him for probably 25 years now. By the way, how did I get involved in this? 8 years ago, God called us out a full-time pastoral ministry here in Ontario, which I've done for about 35 years. And we left, you know, a good church with and they weren't kicking me out, okay? And everything was going well. And God said, at 59 years of age, I got a new plan for your life. And we leaped by faith and said, okay, we'll believe you, Lord, and we'll go with this. And was I fearful? All honesty, I was fearing like you wouldn't believe, okay? And yet God took care of us in incredible ways. So before that, when I was pastoring, I used to go to Russia, and I used to do teaching, okay, in Russia with Slavic gospel. And we had a riot. Those were good days. We had a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. And one of the guys was this Vitaly that I'm going to show you a video of. You got to understand, he's Ukrainian, okay? And many Ukrainians back in the day, through many of our missions that are represented here today, many of them became missionaries out of Ukraine, and numbers of them went to Russia to save those people and started church plants all over Russia. Okay, and they're still doing it to this day, by the way. And Vitaly is one of those guys. So when he went in, I met him when he was a brand new church planter. They rented a 2-bedroom basement apartment in an absolutely dirty, filthy, squalor place. Okay, and he started with about 3 families. And today, he's the pastor of the main church in that region in Russia. And he's responsible as the bishop. He's responsible for over 140 churches. And God has blessed his ministry in absolutely incredible ways. But Vitaly decided when the war broke out, I have to do something for my people. Now you got to understand, he's a pastor working in Russia, and he wants to go back to Ukraine and help the Ukrainian people. He checked it out. He got the proper authorities to say yes, that he could cross the border. And since the beginning of March of last year, he has been taking teams anywhere from 25 to 40 people every single weekend across the border, spending a week in Ukraine. They go down into the south. I won't specifically say where, but they go down into the south where the war has been horrible, and they go down there, and they do that. And you wonder, like, how in the world does that happen? Well, we help them somewhat with that, but I'm going to tell you, he's been raising thousands of dollars every week from Russian believers to help Ukrainians through this mess. You'll never hear that on the news. You'll never hear it on the news, okay? And I'm going to tell you, I was in the country of Georgia just a little while ago, and Vitaly said to me, he said, Bill, I want to meet with you. I haven't been able to get into Russia, and he said, I want to meet with you. So he and his wife and his 4 kids packed into an SUV, and they drove 16 hours to come down to Georgia, and we met up and prayed together for several hours. And what a joy it was to see him. Now, I'm going to tell you, he just sent me a note just yesterday, And the next group just went, okay? They just left last night, and away they go again, another group, okay? And we just see amazing things happening. And thousands of people literally have come to Christ. This is just one guy of many. So I'm going to close this morning with this, but I want you to know, Jairus was just an ordinary person just like you and I. And he ran into a real major conflict in his life, in his situation. And the little girl, 12 years old, needed help, and Jesus intervened. Do you know something today? God can intervene in the most difficult of circumstances and situations in our lives. And I want to encourage you, remember those five words. Do not fear, only believe. And God will do something of a miracle in your life that you can't even begin to imagine. He'll do it. He'll do it if we trust him